Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the How We Scale podcast. Jeff Brandeis, your host. Today, I got a very, very special guest, Matt Papsel from Predictive Index. Matt is a godfather, as he likes to call it, of talent optimization. So, Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me.
I'm very glad you are able to join us. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about what Predictive Index is all about.
Yeah, sure. So I started my career in military service. I served in the U.S. Marine Corps for 6 years, and then I went to graduate school to study business and computers and took my first job at a software startup and realized just how much I had to learn about management, leadership, and how people parts of organizations really work. I was pretty rubbish as a manager. So over the years, I started to really study my craft when it comes to leadership and these types of things and had a much better time of it. Recently, I joined the Predictive Index, which is where I work now as a VP of Professional Services. So I help consultants all over the world to really bring talent optimization to their clients. And look forward to talking to you about all that stuff and more today.
Awesome, Matt. Well, first, thank you so much for your service. Truly appreciate that. So, Matt, when you talk about talent and optimization, and what does that really mean for an organization that's growing and bringing on people?
Yeah, I think that the really important thing is that most businesses that I talk to have some semblance of a strategy when it comes to how they're going to operate the business, how they're going to fund it, its technical innovations and investments, less so when it comes to the people part of the business. And so what we really find from a talent optimization perspective, it's really how do we really maximize business results, I would say, by optimizing the performance and experience of all of the people. And there's a lot of different things that go into that as far as how do we design winning teams or how do we hire top talent, things that are really on the minds of executives and leaders at every level today. Talent optimization demystifies, I would say, the people parts of a business. And that's what I love most about it.
So when you talk about people, I think typically it starts with the owner of the business, right? And then it transcends itself down. So do you, is that how Predictive works or how you would recommend that the analysis begins?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think a lot of business owners, you know, didn't start out that way necessarily. Maybe they were really good at accounting or software design or engineering or landscaping or anything like that. And then over time, find that they're doing less and less of those things and they start to run a business. And most of their day is involved with people aspects of the business. How do we make sure we have leadership capacity in the organization? How do we make sure that we're positioned well, that the culture is strong, whatever it might be? So I find that that's really something that doesn't get taught very well inside of our MBA programs and business schools and all these things, where we tend to focus on the hard aspects of business, if you would. So this really, I get my greatest joy out of helping drive the business because we need to do that, but doing it with and through people, that's a bit more difficult, I would say, for some otherwise successful business leaders.
So when I think about hiring people, Matt, you know, I was a manager. I used to go to, with all due respect, Dr. Google, and I'd Google a job description, and that became how I went out and hired people. How does Predictive Index help me as a leader kind of get more out of my job description than just your job description?
Yeah, the talent optimization discipline when it comes to hiring really starts by defining and communicating job requirements, as we call it. And so the Predictive Index offers a talent optimization platform. So that's an actual piece of science and software that allows hiring to be done really at scale. So one of the first things that we want to do is to start by creating what we call a job target. So this is a way of taking a job title or job description and convert it into a behavioral target of the type of work that needs to be done. The thinking here is that if we find people who are naturally wired to do the type of work that we need done, everything's going to flow a lot more smoothly. But the problem is that when people send in their resumes, you don't know what their behavioral preferences and makeup really is. So a combination of a science application like the Predictive Index Behavioral Assessment combined with a job target helps us really prioritize talking to candidates who appear to be the most natural fit to do the type of work that we need done.
We talked about leadership also. So you find that right person, and then leaders tend to lead the same way in today or today's environment. How does the behavioral assessment help me as a leader lead and coach that person that's coming on board, or even my existing team for that matter?
And in my argument, it starts with yourself. Like, so what understand what I'm all about and my own natural behavioral preferences. You know, for me as a leader, I tend to be a very extroverted type person. So I like to work with and through other people. I have a moderate amount of competitiveness and what we call dominance and a need to get my fingerprints on things. But I have almost no patience. I like to have things done like right away. I have this real bias for action. And so for me, a lot of my own personal leadership development was enhanced by what I learned from my own behavioral preferences and styles. And when I tried to emulate leaders who weren't anything like me, I didn't have a lot of success when I was much younger and earlier in my career, fewer gray whiskers than I have today. But I think that that's where it really starts for me, is just the self-awareness that comes from things like a behavioral assessment, like what Predictive Index offers, maybe values work, trying to understand what personal values you hold most dearly. Other types of things like that really help a leader create that first foundation. After that, if I have team members, I can't just assume that everyone is just like me. I have to really understand that each individual may have their own behavioral style and preferences. And it's up to me as the leader to understand those differences, to celebrate those differences, and even to negotiate our way of working together. I've had many people who work for me that are very good at the details and operation and logistics, things that I'm not good at. I've surrounded myself with people who complement my strengths. Well, I can't just manage them the way I would like to be managed. They hate that. You know, they need, they have different needs.
And the analysis provides the leader those ways to be able to interact with the people.
Yeah. Again, demystifying the process that now I understand this individual, I understand what his or her needs are. I know how I can adapt to meet those needs. In my case, with working with some of those detail-oriented people, I have to slow down and not just talk about things, which I love doing, but I also have to write some things down or be a little more specific about how to carry out a task in a way that basically explain what winning looks like. It doesn't mean I have to spend a ton of time doing it. I found that in conversation with some of my direct reports, we kind of figure out what it means to provide that level of detail that they need, that type of protection against ambiguity that I love so much, they don't love as much. So that's just a way that if we talk about, if I'm aware of those needs for my direct report and how they're different from mine, and we pre-negotiate how we're going to work together, it's going to go a lot better than if we just wait to the heat of the moment and I'm frustrated, they're frustrated, and now the project is late or off track in some way. That's not the time to try to figure out what's the best way we can work with one another.
And one of the terms that we're hearing more and more of in today's environment is the hybrid workforce, right? Where you got some people working in the office, you got more people working at home, and then you got the leader that's probably more than likely used to working with everyone in the office. How does the data and science that we're talking about help me as a leader work with this diverse group that I'm now working with?
Yeah, I think some of the things we've been talking about are perennial in the sense that whether I'm in the same office building or whether I'm working remotely with an individual, knowing our respective behavioral differences and negotiating out how we're going to work together is always going to be critical. But one thing that I have seen, to your point, Jeff, is when you start looking at hybrid work, and now as the leader, I got, you know, what I like to call five in the room and five on the Zoom. That is difficult to try to maintain what's known as equity. So how does everyone have access to knowledge and information, brainstorming tools, all the different types of things? And so what I found was that a lot of leaders who had gotten to whatever level of capability they had when everyone was more or less on site struggled after they went remote but quickly kind of got back to saying I can translate some of my ways of working with my team to a full remote format. But now that we've returned to this hybrid situation, they're struggling again because not everyone's having the same access to the technology, to the workplace. And now I have to adapt my style. And that can be difficult, especially in a fast-paced environment. And especially when we're not at our best right now, because people have a certain amount of fatigue from everything that we've been going through for now going on 2 years. So I think that hybrid, some of the tried and true principles of knowing yourself, checking in, experiencing and demonstrating a lot of empathy when it comes to what people are going through, giving flexibility where you can, not micromanaging people, but making sure everyone is clear about expectations and how to contribute to team success. You know, these are the types of things that are allowing leaders to really get recognized and to distinguish themselves in a still challenging environment.
I really love that, Matt. Thank you for sharing all that. But I think the other term that we're hearing a lot of, and this kind of plays into exactly what you were just talking about, is the great resignation, right? Companies are losing their top talent. And I think understanding you as a leader or me as a leader, and then understanding the people as employees or as sales folks or as people, you know, how does this all play into trying to maintain and keep your top talent?
Yeah, it's been a really difficult situation in that we've seen the great resignation take hold for many months at the end of 2021 and continues now. And a lot of times what's happening is employees who've been through so much are now seeking meaning, and they really want to make sure that the type of work they do matters. And so a leader who with whom they have a relationship, a company that they respect and enjoy and see themselves an active part of, can really be a great insulator to a lot of the pressure. I mean, what do you do when you're like, you're a young professional, 3 out of 4 of your best friends that you hang out with after work have all moved on and you haven't. And you're like, oh, what am I missing here? Maybe I'm like missing out on something. I like my job, but I don't love it. It can make you susceptible. So you have social pressures, you have economic pressures, you have fear, you have this new opportunities for remote work that weren't there before, you know, even 18 months ago. So it's really adding up to a lot of people moving around jobs, and not necessarily always successfully, by the way, but it is happening. So I feel like from the employer's perspective, if you really want to make sure that you do everything that you can't control it, but do everything you can to try to encourage people to stay. I like to tell leaders, I say metaphorically, I'm like, throw your arms around your people, stay close to them, find out where you know they're all about, be vulnerable. You know, if you're having a tough day and you need a day, take a day and let them know that you're taking a day and extend them that same courtesy. Those are the types of things I think that really help. And then ensuring that they can see how the work that they're doing day to day contributes to the greater good, you know, of what your company is all about, the impact you're making in the world. I think that the pandemic and everything we went through really forced people to reevaluate their place in this world, so to speak. And we spend a lot of time as adults at work. So we need to make sure that that work is aligned with our values and our mental models of what contribution really means. And so employers that are not attuned to those things and are not demonstrating empathy, they're going to be more at risk of losing some of that top talent you talked about than those who do a good job of that.
But Matt, when we talk about the talent, does the predictive index work in better in particular industry? Or, I mean, there's lots of listeners in here that are listening to the podcast that could be, you know, a brick and mortar, it could be a software company, it could be financial services. Is there a particular area that is stronger than others?
No, I don't really see a difference in terms of the industry verticals. The one thing about the predictive index has been around since 1955, quite a long time. And one of the things that I enjoy most about joining the company long ago when I did was the diversity of the client base. So that basically any organization that has employees can benefit from taking a talent optimization approach. That's just how it is. And so what I find is that what differentiates successful clients from less successful ones is really how much they understand, respect, and appreciate the contribution of people to the business result. So an organization that says, I really get it. I know that people are material. They're as a competitive differentiator, as something that's really critical for our business. There are, you know, here it is, they're our greatest asset, right? When that's true and meaningful, but there's just a gap and but we don't know what to do about it, then things like talent optimization or the predictive index talent optimization platform can really accelerate an ability to do the right thing. When it comes to organizations that may not have that mentality and may say, you know, people are just a commodity and, you know, if they quit, we'll just go get another one. That's much tougher. And so I think that rather than saying that there's a difference between verticals is who can succeed with the talent optimization approach, it's really about mindset. And it does, to your earlier point, mean starting with top down. It is up to the executive team to really set the standard for how we're going to think about people in the organization, how we're going to prioritize investments in them, how we're going to hold our leaders accountable for getting the people part right, not just delivering the business result. Because in this environment, we have to do both if we're going to succeed financially, yes, but also from a retention and employee morale and welfare perspective also.
This is all fantastic stuff. I'm really digging all this, Matt. But one of the things we talked about with talent optimization is this assessment. You know, I hear the word assessment and, you know, I begin to quiver a little bit because I don't like assessments. They're too long. They take too much time. Can you talk about the process a little bit?
Yeah, one thing is that if you are transparent with your employees and you say, you may not even choose to call it assessment, just say that it's a survey. We're going to send you a survey. It's going to help us understand your behavioral preferences so we can understand you better. We can make sure that our leaders understand you as a team member and can do everything they can to really create and foster a productive work environment. I think people understand that we have a tremendous amount of data that we didn't used to have. And so I think that as long as we're transparent about our motives and how we're going to use the data, and we provide transparency to them about here's what your results suggest, here's about your coworkers, here's ways of fostering better relationships with your peers, here's information about your manager. You know, here are the strengths that your manager has, but also some potential pitfalls, some things that don't come as naturally to him or her. And so this is, might be an area of strength for you. So how could you team up with your manager to provide a more balanced approach? Those are types of things that employees, I find, really appreciate. So I would say, you know, be clear, be transparent, and use the data in really position it properly as saying this helps us understand how to create the best work environment for you, because that's what it does.
Awesome. So Matt, I know there are other products similar or out there. What makes Predictive Index, you know, different than the other products that are available in the marketplace today?
Yeah, it's a great point, Jeff. I mean, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of assessments of all types of different things that are available, you know, for employers and even for employees who want to know more about themselves. What I love most, and I enjoy taking lots of them because I just enjoy the whole process of organizational psychology and individual psychology. But one thing I enjoy most about Predictive Index, first, is that it's brief. It takes 6 minutes or less to complete the survey, and it provides a tremendous amount of information considering how brief it is. It's really remarkable. And the second is that the way that it resonates, the output of the survey really is done in a narrative style where an employee can read all about themselves. You know, there's no big mumbo jumbo. You don't feel silly for not understanding how the assessment works. And I think it's really relatable in a way. The predictive index approach also produces what's known as a reference profile. And these are just shorthand ways of referring to general types of people. So I'm what's known as a persuader. And that sounds pretty cool to me because I'm a persuader. And I really like that description and the entire celebration of all things persuader. But there are other reference profiles too. So you may have some employees who are mavericks or some who are altruists or some who are specialists. And whatever profile they have, it's going to resonate with them. And they're going to be like, I feel special. This is awesome. And it gives me a way of relating and understanding similarities and differences across, you know, pretty broad groups of people. So there's a lot to love about the predictive index assessment. And but as you said, Jeff, there are a lot of assessments out there. And I'm just really a fan of employers trying to responsibly use the types of tools that we have to get the people part right. That's the most important thing of all. And taking that talent optimization approach, because the alternative is too expensive. It's the wrong way to go about treating your people. And it's so easily avoided with the tools that we have available today.
I think one of the key things I've gathered out of our conversation, Matt, is that the Productivity Index helps the leaders build a culture of the organization that they really want to have, not only from a leadership perspective, a management perspective, but the teams that are all bandied about and making sure that it's a well-balanced team.
Yeah, culture is critically important. And I think putting people first and giving them every advantage to find success on the job in a way that serves the business, you know, these are all very positive things and they're very doable. If you're a leadership team out there and you're thinking, you know, we're expecting big things from our people this year, but I know, you know, morale is not where it used to be and we're all kind of going through some stuff and or we're making a lot of changes. Change really disrupts certain people. And saying we've got to really change our business model, our approach. We've got new people coming in, maybe new people on my leadership team. What a great opportunity to put people first by installing a talent optimization approach. You know, it's to get started is very straightforward. And I think it sends such a positive and powerful message to your people that you matter. Yes, of course, the business is going to get its due, but we're going to make sure that our people come with us on this journey. And it's just such a better way of doing business today.
Just awesome. Thank you so much, Matt. So Matt, if people want to learn more about Productivity Index or get in touch with you, how can they find out or how can they reach out?
Yeah, predictiveindex.com is the domain. It's really easy to find us. You can find lots of great information, lots of great educational information too about all things related to talent optimization. For me personally, I'm huge on LinkedIn. I just love connecting with people there. So anything you can do to help connect people with myself on LinkedIn, it would be very much appreciated.
Thank you, Matt. And, you know, our name of my podcast is How We Scaled. And I think as you look at your listeners out there, as you scale your businesses and you bring on people, you bring on other leaders, I think if Matt, from our conversation, Productivity Index is a vital tool that you want to have in your toolbox, so to speak, in order to help you scale. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because scalability is all about efficiency and things that work at varying sizes. And I think that that's another great thing about taking that talent optimization approach, whether you've got five people or whether you've got 5,000 or 50,000 people, you know, there's just no substitute for teams and groups of people working together to establish the right culture, maintain that culture, make great decisions when it comes to people and interact in very powerful ways. So I think just as talent optimization at scales sounds like a great message for your listeners as well.
Thank you so much for joining us on How We Scaled, Matt. Thank you again. Everyone, this is Jeff Brandeis from How We Scaled. And thank you again for our listeners for tuning in. Looking forward to having you tune in again soon on our next episode or podcast of How We Scaled. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.